Tango Tango Papa 2107, February 26th, 2022.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. So, I've been home actually several days. I'm going to be home longer than normal this time. What ended up happening, I had a delivery scheduled here at home for Thursday morning. Friday morning. Had the delivery scheduled for Friday morning, and then Monday I have a dental cleaning appointment at noon, and then on Tuesday I have one of the checkup visits. At the eye doctor when I had the cataract surgery several months ago. I had it September the 30th. So three things. So I was supposed to be home on Thursday, then home Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, back to work on Wednesday. So what ended up happening? I ended up on a load that I was in Iowa, picked the load up at. Picked up at Galt, Iowa, as a load of eggs, and it went to Clarksville, Arkansas. And I've had that load a number of times, and they've used that load to get me home quite a few times. So I ended up getting home actually on the 21st. And, because they could have, if they would have had a load, something that they could, send me out and then get me back on the 24th, it would have been fine. But they decided, well, we'll just go ahead and send you home. And that's fine. It doesn't really matter to me. But so anyway, I made it home on the 21st. And then it ended up snowing on, kind of snowing and icing and sort of, kind of really messed the traffic up. In the area, that was on Wednesday and Thursday. So it was just as well that I was home, really, in all honesty. It was just, because I don't like driving and that type of stuff, and it was certainly bad enough where I would have parked somewhere. So in any case, they were supposed to deliver it was a television, and I talked about that in a previous podcast, 85-inch Samsung television, 4K television. They were supposed to deliver that on Friday morning, but so the guy called me Friday morning from Best Buy, and he said, sorry, not going to be able to make the delivery, because the TV never actually got shipped because of the weather. It never got shipped from wherever their warehouse is, and I really don't know. I don't know where their warehouse is for this particular area, for the stores in this area, but it didn't get shipped because of the weather. So it didn't make it from wherever the warehouse is to the store. So that was that. So I was able to reschedule it for Monday afternoon. Now, hopefully, that will work. I have a dental cleaning appointment at noon on Monday, so I'm going to try to be there early, and sometimes they'll get me in a little early, and I'm not counting on it. Usually these appointments last approximately an hour, and then it's going to take me probably 30 minutes to drive back, so maybe I can be home by 1:30. Now, in the meantime, Best Buy is supposed to be calling. they should call sometime in the morning on Monday, and I'll, you know, tell them, hey, could you, you know, kind of, we have the schedule for the afternoon. Could you kind of make sure it's, you know, a little bit later than 1:30, you know, kind of later in the afternoon, if possible. And then they're also supposed to call 30 minutes before. Now, I could, you know, try to have an aunt and uncle come up here and, you know, but I really hate to impose on them because I'd feel like I was using them. You know, so I don't know. I'll just kind of play it by ear. I think Best Buy will probably work with me, hopefully. So, you know, but I still don't go back to work until Wednesday. So I've been home for, you know, about a week or a little more. So, you know, by the time I go back to work, but like I say, that's fine. And it was particularly fine for me because of the weather. Because it would have been really a pain in the rear had I actually tried to get home on Thursday. That would have been a nightmare because of the weather. You know, it kind of really stopped most of the traffic, and certainly the major, the interstates and what have you were, in this area certainly were in not very good shape. To kind of put it mildly, so I would have been stopping somewhere, you know. So like I say, it's just as well that, you know, that it worked out that way. So hopefully, you know, the delivery will go, you know, they'll be able to deliver that. You know, the main thing that I really need, you know, them to do is unbox the thing and kind of sit it where I want it. I was going to mount it on the wall, but that really isn't going to work where I want to put it. There's no way that that it can be mounted on the wall because there's kind of a window in the way. So, you know, it's not worth messing with, so I can, you know, just have them, you know, put it on, you know, because it comes with a stand, obviously. And I've got some, you know, a couple of little tables that either one of them would work as far as setting the TV on that. And so that should work out just fine. You know, kind of get it at the height that I want. So, but that's the TV. The 85-inch TV is going in my little one-man theater room. And I'll be kind of getting rid of the projection screen and the projector. And the problem with the projector is the noise. And it was a cheap projector. Whenever I got it a few years ago, that it ended up being a kind of a cheap, crappy projector. So, you know. You know, and of course now, 4 or 5 years later, there's a variety of 1080p and even 4K projectors that are much more, you know, especially the 1080p ones that are really good, that are priced reasonably. But, you know, the problem with a projector is that they have a fan. And they're going to, typically the fan's going to be kind of noisy and relatively, you know, a room like that, you know, where basically the projector is kind of right over the, you know, the top of my head, I'm going to be hearing the noise, you know, the fan noise. So, which I would rather not. And so, you know, and a TV is a projected screen is never going to, a projected image is never going to be able to match a television, an actual, you know, like a high quality television image. It's never going to be able to match that. You know, maybe they can come pretty close, but they can't really kind of match it, especially with the things like contrast and what have you. The TV's always going to be able to outrank it, and especially if you want, you know, if you don't want to be sitting in the dark. So In any case, that's kind of what's been going on. During the days where it was, the 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, where it was snowing and icing, I didn't go anywhere. I was prepared to just, and what I did, I just stayed here at home and just kind of hung out. Now, we did get some ice. There wasn't, now out here at my house, there really wasn't a whole lot. It didn't cause any problems at all. Instead of really looking much like ice, it looked more, at least on the trees, it looked more like a super heavy frost. So the trees were sort of white, you know, they looked like they had snow on them. But, you know, so it was really probably more of an ice type thing. But because, you know, if you get regular, like freezing rain, you know, then the stuff on the trees looks like ice, and this didn't really look like ice. It just looked like like crystals. So, but it didn't really wasn't really a problem here as far as trees or, you know, kind of knocking things down or what have you. But now I think in other areas it was more of a problem. And then about 1 o'clock, when was it? It was 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe, was it Friday morning? I was almost getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden, the electricity went off. And so I checked my electric company, excuse me, has an app. And so I checked the app on the phone, and it showed that my area, there was a substation that had a problem. And so I didn't know how long it was going to be, so I got my little, it's called a Buddy, a little propane heater, and, you know, fired it, got it fired up, and kind of put it in the bedroom, and I went ahead and went to bed, because I didn't know how long the electricity might be off. And then, you know, like before I went to sleep about, so it was off, it came back on, of course. So it was off maybe for about 45 minutes, and it really, you know, the house, and it was kind of cold outside. It was in the teens, I think, the temperature was. So it would have been, if it had remained off for any length of time, it would have gotten kind of chilly. So that's why I got that heater out. But then once it came back on, I got back up out of bed and turned the heater off and went back to bed. And so, so it was a relatively short outage. So I'm guessing there must have been a tree or something that fell on a line, because it did, at first it went off, and then it, you know, and usually their systems will give like 3 different tries. It'll try to come back on, and then if it still determines there's sort of a short, then it'll cut off again. So it did go through that sequence, and then it seemed to stay on for a while, and then all of a sudden it just went out, and it stayed out, so that was that. But they, like I say, they got it repaired very quickly, and but normally the electricity out here is pretty reliable. But, you know, with it happening in the middle of the night like that, you know, it's kind of like trying to plug in the generator is too much of a hassle, especially in the middle of the night, you know, and it's freeze really cold temperatures, so I didn't mess with it. I think it was in 2009, my electricity was off here at my house for about almost 2 weeks. Better, it was like 10, 11 days. And that was a serious outage. So haven't had anything like that happen, you know, since 2009, but, stuff happens, you know, things like that can happen and do happen. And, you know, so eventually it will happen again. I fully expect that it will, you know, it's unfortunate, but, stuff happens, and you gotta kind of be prepared for it, hopefully. So, anyway, I have a short Voxer file from Joel, He's actually, he got a new phone, and he's kind of sending the message with his new phone, actually with a Bluetooth headset, because I did talk back and forth with him a little bit, and he was using a Bluetooth headset, and that's the best combination that I've ever heard as far as using a Bluetooth microphone with Voxer, because typically the Bluetooth microphones don't work very well with something like Voxer. And I don't know, I think it has to do with noise cancellation that's built into Voxer, I'm not sure. And certainly there's always noise cancellation that's built into headsets as well, like that, because they're really designed to work with telephone calls. And they, you know, most headsets do a fairly decent job with telephone calls, Bluetooth headsets, as far as the microphone goes, but typically they don't do very well at all with something like Voxer or Telegram is another one that they don't do well with. But in this case, it worked pretty well, so I'm going to go ahead and play that now. So let's see if I can, here it is. So here is Joel.
All right, brother. Using my new Pixel 6 Pro to record this with my Jabra Elite 3 headphones. So far, the phone is fantastic. If you look on my timeline on Facebook, you'll see a picture I took with the camera on this. At night last night, and it's amazing. The camera is amazing on this phone. Very, very happy with it so far. Have not made a decision on the car. I think we're trying to hold off a little and try and wait until we have more selection. Right now we ain't got much selection. A lot of the ones that we're looking at, like Equinox or the Trailblazer, or preferably the Trax. The Trax would have enough room for him. Because it really only needs... We've never all three riding it. But he would probably be driving with my wife in tow. And the Trax is the right size. It's kind of the size we need. And probably the cheaper of the three lower end... SUV Chevrolet has. They also have the Blazer, which that's just going to cost too much, and the Traverse, which we already have one of. So Toyota's lot's been pretty freaking empty here in Columbus, and that's actually not far from the Schaefer Terminal that you use on the west side of Columbus there. So they have had no cars. I think the best they have is maybe a Toyota Corolla Cross, which I might try to have the wife look at that too. But we'll see. I don't know. It's going to be a while.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. So in the meantime, you know, since I'm recording the video, I went ahead and brought up the... it's in the web browser, but I brought up the picture that he is talking about, and yeah, that's quite the nice picture. It really is amazing what they've been able to do with phone cameras. By the way, I was actually messing around. Let me see if I can get out of that. I was actually messing around with the camera on my the Note 20 Ultra that I have. You know, I should be getting the Note 22 Ultra, or that it's the S22 Ultra. I should be receiving that on Monday. That's supposed to be, you know, they sent a thing saying that should be coming Monday. So, but in any case, got that to deal with too. In any case, I was messing around with the phone, you know, the phone that I already have that I've had for 2 years, and I did a zoomed all the way in on the moon, of all things. Now, it's, if you're hand-holding it, it's hard. It's really hard to hold it still. So if you're watching the video right now, there's an image that I took, and this was just handheld. And it was all completely automatic, like automatic settings of the moon. And you can actually make out really zoomed in on it substantially, and you can actually kind of make out the major moon features. I had no idea that it was that phone was capable of anything like that. It's just, now it's a little bit blurry, not too bad. But, you got to think, this is a handheld image zoomed all the way in, and it was just handheld, and it's quite amazing that that it was able to, to take those pictures. So, in any case, so if you're watching the video, you can see that. So let me go back to, let's close that. And let's go back to right here and right there. There we are. So I'm back. So, but I continued talking to Joel, and, we had several more back and forths, and he was saying that he had I don't remember the type of headset that he said that he had. But in any event, it ended up being a very good combination, and, the photo kind of speaks for itself. So, like I say, they've done some amazing things with the cameras on phones. It's pretty astounding that I would have never thought that they would have been able to, and I probably said as much way back when, that they would never be able to get to the level that they're at, because they really are quite amazing. In fact, now the background image right here that I'm showing is actually, I'd snapped that with the phone, and it was just all completely on automatic. Excuse me, it was a traffic, I think it was in maybe Virginia, somewhat south of Washington, D.C. Don't remember the name of the town, but through a few lights, it really thinned out, but there for a while, it was pretty intense. So, but the phones, really do an amazing job, and they continue to kind of incrementally make improvements. So, and I guess the car thing, probably depends on where you're at. There's still things that aren't available. If it had been available, I would have went ahead and spent a little bit extra money and got the 8K top of the line Samsung 85-inch television. It's, maybe $1,500 more than the 4K version. But, I was willing to spend it, but it's just not in this area. It's not available, and apparently Best Buy doesn't. If they have warehouses across the country, and they don't do shipping from warehouse to warehouse. They're receiving their whatever stock they have from their vendors. Each particular warehouse is receiving stock. And then that gets shipped to that warehouse's territory, and that's it. And if a particular warehouse is out of something, then the stores that warehouse serves cannot, you know, the product's just not available until the particular warehouse is able to get it, you know, get that product. You know, so the 8K televisions, you know, I noticed when I was traveling, I noticed that, you know, like around, you know, in Maryland and or wherever, that it was available, like, you know, in certain places. Like Frederick, Maryland, for example, they had the 8K version was available, or, you know, at least it was available at the warehouse, but not around here. So, but the 4K is fine. There's really not that much of a difference between 4K and 8K. And quite frankly, most of the stuff that you watch is not going to really be at the highest quality anyway. And the other problem, you know, to get from, you know, from 4K to 8K, you're really going to be hard pressed to see what the difference is. You know, so, and we're really at this point we're really at the limits of eyesight, for one thing, you know, because it's, you can try to make more, you know, little incremental improvements, but we're getting to the limit. And there are limits, you know. There really are limits. You know, they can continue to make, you know, maybe little incremental improvements, but you know, can you even really notice the improvements? Now, you know, some time back I had to replace my, main in my living room, you know, the surround is Denon surround sound receiver. And I replaced it with a Sony unit that I had to, you know, I ordered it through Best Buy. And, you know, it was that particular unit, the Sony unit, you know, it sounded, you know, it was easy to set up. It sounded, initially, you know, I got it and I thought, well, it sounds, you know, mostly like the Denon, but it was a little different. Now, the one that I got actually is capable of the Dolby Atmos, but, you know, where you have the height speakers. But that really won't, you know, I didn't figure that would work so well because I've got vaulted ceilings. So, you know, I just, you know, but with those, you know, with that, you can just set that up as a 7-point, you know, like a 7.1, 7-point whatever. The point, whatever, is the subwoofers, and I've actually got three subwoofers, and it's not so that the bass is really loud. The advantage of having multiple subwoofers is that it doesn't really increase the loudness of the bass, but what it ends up doing is it kind of cancels out the unevenness that you get in bass, because bass frequencies can be very, very... Physically, the waves can be extremely long in the really deep frequencies. And so you have this phenomenon where, let's say you have one subwoofer and you kind of move around a room as you're listening to it at particular frequencies. And in some places it may not sound loud at all. In some places it may just, the sound may be completely canceled. And in other locations, you could end up like with a standing wave type thing where it's very, certain frequencies could be very loud. So if you have multiple subwoofers, that can kind of cancel that problem out and make the bass much smoother. And so that's basically what, if the system's adjusted right, that's basically how I have it. And it, you know, I'm really pleased with the bass that I have. But in any case, with this Sony receiver, I was able to set the surround sound, you could set the Atmos height, the height speakers, instead of as height speakers, you just set them as the rear surround speakers. Now, the thing that I've noticed that I've, you know, since I've had some time to really watch, you know, and listen to it, it really does a fantastic job of creating a, you know, it's a really good sound field that it creates, just in, and with the 7 point, you know, the 7 point whatever. You know, the it really does a good job of creating a field that sort of makes, it seems to make the speakers disappear, as far as you can't really locate where the speakers are. You know, and so you get the surround really shows up when it's supposed to and where it's supposed to. So that's probably the best surround sound experience that I've had ever, you know, here at home, you know. So, but I think, you know, they've continued to work on it. And I've, you know, like in theaters, you know, they always rave about how great this, you know, their systems are or whatever. Generally speaking, I've never been that impressed with theater, you know, systems. You know, because, yeah, they can get really loud and what have you, but quality-wise, they're not that great. You know, and I don't like it sometimes they'll have the thing set up way too loud, and I just don't care for that. So I would rather have nice sound without it, you know, where it sounds good without it being just overly loud, you know. So anyway, I've been pretty happy with the Sony receiver, you know. And like I say, the Atmos, I don't know. I guess that's, supposedly they have that in the theaters, but I've never, and it depends on how it's adjusted, and it may depend on where you're sitting at too, in the theater. But I don't even really notice it. It would have to be, probably it would have to really be set upright in order to, in a smaller area, in order to really be able to notice it, you know. And I think it probably would if you had the right setup, but you know, and it was adjusted properly. But you know, in the theater, not so much, because it's, you know. But they're sort of going for the lowest common denominator, you know. And then of course they're going to rave about it. But generally speaking, I think the theater sound is kind of crappy. You know, it's okay, I guess, as long as they don't have it cranked up too loud. So anyway, I was talking to a friend, you know, and this friend's kind of involved in trucking, and he's got, he actually owns some trucks now, and he's hired drivers for them. And he was, you know, of course, you have special, you know, any kind of employees, but especially the, you know, a lot of truck driver type employees. And they just, you know, and basically, you know, what I told him was, these people, you know, they don't know what they want. I think a lot of people really don't know what they want. They may think they know what they want, but when it comes right down to it, they don't know what they want. And so then they think they want this, and then, you know, you give them this, and then, oh, I don't like that. I want, you know, the grass is always greener somewhere else. And it's because they don't know what they want. We all know people that have gone to school for, you know, whatever, and maybe they've got a degree in this or a degree in that, and they've gone to school for this and gone to school for that. And, you know, maybe they try whatever it is that they've got their schooling for, and they find out that they hate it. They can't, you know, so then they end up doing something completely different, and then they've wasted, they're not using their, whatever their education was for. And I've seen, you know, everybody knows plenty of people that has happened to. So I was thinking about that this morning. And really the reason that people, why would it be that someone wouldn't know what they want? You know, and I've kind of been there, you know, with that myself, you know, because it's really difficult. It could be really difficult in the best of circumstances to kind of know what you want. But, you know, what is it that can really make that even worse? And, of course, it goes back to, you know, resentment. It goes back to, you know, kind of unresolved resentment. You know, people have resentment towards their parents. And I'm talking, you know, people of all ages. People can be, you know, grown adults. And they've got, they're resentful of their parents. You know, and maybe they don't, they may or may not realize it. Doesn't really matter. Resentment comes packaged with its own denial mechanisms. So, but the thing that you have to understand is that resentment isn't something that you can just play with or try to turn a negative into a positive. You have to let go of it. Resentment cuts you off from knowing what you want. It literally cuts you off. You have to realize that it cuts you off from what is, you know, because, you know, I've often said it cuts you off from a, you know, like a God-given identity. But it's really true, you know, and you can, maybe you don't believe in God, but it doesn't matter. It cuts you off from whatever identity that you would have had. And identity, you know, ends up being fundamental when it comes to what, you know, likes and dislikes and maybe what you're talented at. Maybe you might have talents that you might not realize that you have. But as long as you've got resentment, the thing that really gets screwed up is your motivation. You know, your motivation just gets completely wrecked by resentment. And you may not even realize it. That, like I say, resentment comes packaged with denial. And so you may think, oh, I love my parents. And it's usually, the reason I bring up parents is because parents are usually the first people that we encounter. And we certainly, children, as I've talked about before, come into the world sort of expecting their parents to, you know, kind of be there to guide them and to help prepare them to be able to function with other people, function in society. And, of course, the parents, you know, even if they have parents, they're fortunate if they do have parents, but let's, you know, maybe they don't, but then, you know, if they don't, then they're going to resent the fact that they don't. They resent the fact that the non-parent placeholder isn't there. But if they are fortunate enough to have parents, then they're going to end up resenting the parents because the parents are probably, no doubt, are going to fail them in some way or other. And then, even on top of that, maybe you have really good parents, but they have, you know, they're flawed human beings themselves, and so they end up throwing a monkey wrench into their own problems. So, you know, it's a wonder that we're able to function as well as we do as human beings, if you really think about it, because we're flawed, our parents are flawed, and, you know, so it, you know, and then things begin to kind of bounce back and forth, you know, and then, you know, kind of bounce through the flaws. So it's a wonder we're able to function at all. But the thing that you can do to resolve that is to realize that you realize you resent your parents, and you can stop resenting them. And I really believe that's where free will comes in. You can stop resenting your parents. You know, because usually you resent your parents, and then you resent the, you know, then they're the first people you resent, and then you resent the, you go to school and you resent the other kids, you resent the teacher, you resent this, you resent that, and it just, you know, it's people, places, and things. And it usually ends up, yeah, I'd say much of the time it's people, but it can be places and things as well. And just, it doesn't take any at all, just any little resentment separates you from who you could be. It separates you from your identity. It separates you, another way of putting it would be, it separates you from your motivations. You know, as I say, motivations are difficult enough to know. How do you know what you want? It's difficult. You know, even with me, you know, what do I want to do? Do I want to keep working? I'm on Social Security now. Do I want to continue to work? I do want to continue to work. Do I want to continue to work in the job that I'm in? Then it becomes a little bit more iffy. Yeah, I think I do, maybe. And then there's times where I think, well, maybe I'd be better off, you know, kind of better off, you know, as it were, whatever that means, better off with some sort of, you know, like a different driving job or something that was maybe more part-time. Maybe I would. You know, of course, then I wouldn't be making the downside with that. That's going to affect the money. Probably wouldn't make as much money. You know, how's that going to factor in? So, you know, I've got a difficult enough time kind of figuring out my own motivation. Now, I think that, you know, I'll know what to do. It seems that things work out, and I'll know what to do whenever the time comes. But so in the meantime, you know, I just kind of keep doing what I'm doing. But, you know, if I was bitter, you know, angry, bitter, what have you, then, you know, throw everything out the window, because then I'm going to quit. I hate this. I'm going to, you know, I think I'm going to just sit at home and watch TV or whatever. I'm on Social Security. I don't have to work. And that would be a terrible, you know, I believe that would be a terrible mistake, because I really believe that I need to work. For a variety of reasons. So, you know, but that's just an example. So, but resentment really does cut you off from, you know, if nothing else, just motivations, proper motivations. Why are resentful people so dramatic? Why do they need all this drama? Why would you put yourself through that? It, you know, if you look at it really objectively, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you put yourself through so much drama? And people do it. It's really ridiculous, the drama people put themselves through. It's just unbelievable. So, but it really does go back to resentment. And so you know, in order to deal with resentment, you have to learn to become objective. And, of course, I mention it ever so often. If you go to my website, which I just happen to have right here that I can pop up. Let's see. Let's pop that up. Like right here. If you go to my website, and so if you're watching the video, up here at the top, towards the left, you see where it says Trucker Tom's Podcast, and then underneath that there's a black bar, and it says Home, and then Video and Meditation Exercise. So if you click on that, then it says Video and Meditation Exercise, User Channel on YouTube, and then I got the YouTube.com /Tom Wiles. And then you got the link to the meditation exercise. These are to MP3 files. And so you have introduction, exercise and discussion, and you can actually right-click and save those to your computer or just listen to them right on the, you know, right on the thing there. So, you know, it's just basically you could burn them to a CD, copy them to a thumb drive, however you want to do it. But, you know, it. In fact, I want to see what happens if I click on where it says meditation.
To practice this meditation technique, all you need is a straight back chair and preferably a darkened room. So, sitting in a straight back chair, put your left hand in your lap, just relax it in your lap, and allow your right arm to dangle down by your side, just loosely dangle, relaxed, hand down by your side. Now I want you to close your eyes. And after you close your eyes, I want you to look at the inside of your eyelids. Now, as you look at the inside of your eyelids, and you close your eyes and you deliberately look at the inside of your eyelids, you're going to notice something interesting. Maybe you've noticed this before, maybe you haven't. But an interesting thing happens. When you close your eyes and you deliberately look at the inside of your eyelids, it's as if your entire forehead sort of lights up in a way. It's as if... your entire forehead sort of becomes a blank, it's kind of a blank screen. Sort of like the entire thing becomes a blank screen. It's sort of formed by, you know, by your visual field as well as above it, your forehead. Now, as you continue to look at this blank screen, you'll notice that there are some, what they're almost like pixels, little pixels that are kind of appearing, maybe little lights, little pixels. It's almost like static on a TV that's tuned to an analog channel that's empty. An empty analog channel that's called white noise. And so, as you look at the inside of your eyelids, you'll notice that these little pixels are kind of coming and going. Some of them don't last long. Some of them last longer. They may be in color, but you'll kind of notice them kind of coming and going. Now, the description that I've come up with for this is sort of a visual tingling. It's sort of a visual tingling. Now, as you kind of continue to look at the inside of your eyelids, and you look at these dancing pixels on this screen in the front of your forehead, and your
whoops, it quit playing. Okay, so it's there. So let's come back. Here we go. There it is. So that is on my website. Like I say, you can download it, or play it right there on the machine or whatever. I don't know why. I guess I should figure out why it quit playing. Let's see if I can make it play.
Field.
Yeah, something went haywire there. But so you can download it. So you can click on download and you can actually download it. So. So anyway, that is there. Give it a try. I can't promise that it's going to help everybody, but I do believe that it will help most people. But it's up to you to practice it. It's not just a one and done type thing. You have to continue, you know, if you want to do it, especially when you first start. I do it a couple of times a day, you know, like in the morning, when you first get up, and then maybe, you know, if you feel compelled to do it in the middle of the day, go for it if you find you have some time. But certainly it's useful to do it before you go to sleep at night. And I think initially it's important to do it in a straight back chair because people have a tendency to fall asleep sometimes. I've had people tell me that they fell asleep, that they just can't do it because they fell asleep. Well, you know, have a good rest. Try it again. You know, you can, if you have insomnia, give it a try. Maybe it'll, you know, you can use it as a at least a temporary sleep aid. But the point of the meditation is to, you know, kind of separate you as your point of awareness, separate you from your thoughts. And, you know, we are not our thoughts. We think we're, oh, I'm my thoughts. My, you know, and you're not. You're not your thoughts. Whatever we as human beings are, we have this point of awareness that can only really be aware of one thing at a time and sort of splits its time up like a computer chip does. But it's possible for you to prove to yourself if you, you know, you learn to practice this meditation exercise, it's possible for you to prove to yourself that you can actually bring your point of awareness out of your thoughts temporarily. You can bring your point of awareness out of your thoughts, and it's useful to practice that because then you can learn to become objective. You know, you become objective to your thoughts, objective to your emotions, etc. And that's actually very useful. It's a useful thing to be able to do. So, and then, you know, it's possible, you know, to become objective to the point where you begin to realize, yeah, I resented my parents, what have you. And that's the time, you know, whenever those thoughts hit you that, you know, that maybe they make you feel a bit uncomfortable when, you know, a thought like that hits you. You know, instead of running away and thinking, well, I should, you know, jump into this or jump into that or, you know, eat a donut or, you know, do something to distract, turn the music up loud so I, you know, to the point where I, you know, can't hear myself think. Those type of things that people do, instead of doing that, you should just allow that uncomfortable feeling to catch up with you. You know, really the purpose of memory isn't so that you remember your whole life. The purpose of the purpose of memory is to, you know, the purpose of it is to, so that, you know, you're remind, you know, some wrong thing comes up and you remember it, then you can, it's offering you the opportunity to figure out, well, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong with this? So that I, you know, otherwise you just end up, you know, repeating, you know, and that's the definition, you know, that's the definition of insanity, to continue to repeat something over and over expecting different results. You need to figure out where you're going wrong. What did you do wrong? What was my part in it? You know, why did this go wrong? What was my part in it? And, you know, it's useful to be able to know that, you know, and once you've dealt with something properly, then you can kind of forget it at that point. But, you know, resentment causes you to remember those things. You know, that's, you know, it's going to be trauma, PTSD. People, the reason, you know, PTSD revolves around the fact that people get really upset and resentful. And then the thing just keeps coming up over and over again. And they can't, to the point where they can't even function. Makes them completely dysfunctional in some cases. So, you know, whenever the, you know, something like the, you know, the, like a triggering mechanism comes up that's similar, that was it some element that happened in the PTSD, you know, in the original trauma. Some element comes up and it triggers it, and then they start reliving the memory all over again. And but the thing to do is just to really face it, you know, face it, get rid of the resentment, realize that your parents, you know, you may not think that you hated your parents, but I guarantee you, you did. And because, you know, that's where it always starts at with every human being that I've ever encountered, whether they want to admit it or not. But you got to, if you can actually realize that, then you can get over it. Eventually, you know, you can get over it and just, you know, take whatever time you need to get over it. It's really important because that resentment, you know, is literally impairing your ability to function as a mature human being. It's impairing your motivation. You end up with dysfunctional motivations. You know, and then you end up, that, why do you think you end up in so much drama? Why do you think you end up doing the same silly, damned things over and over again and, you know, kind of expecting a different result? So, that's on my website, that meditation exercise. Give it a try. Like I say, I can't promise that it's going to help everybody, but I really do believe that it will help most people, and it has certainly helped me. There's no question whatsoever about that in my mind. It has absolutely helped me, and it's, you know, it's really, really worthwhile. Really is worthwhile. So anyhow, we've been going about 57 minutes at this point, so I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week. Hope you have has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend or having a great weekend. Hope you have a great week next week. So I will catch you later. Whoops.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.